this week's one.
And it's right away to right.
Right. And it's very predictable.
Right. Now, that is, what did you, that's the deceleration?
What that does is it gives you the total performance of the horse, but by a strange coincidence, what I did was I took some very complex deceleration patterns. The deceleration from the first to the second fraction, from the second to the third, the total deceleration, first to last, and second call to final time, all sorts of deceleration figures, ratio of deceleration, and you get certain horses. Then I found out that the exact same achievement arose from using factor X. So it was built in velocity and deceleration in a very simplified form.
Now that simplified formula is identical to both sprint and route, right? 1 plus 3 over 2 plus 2 by 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I did, trying to improve, help me, my slicing formula was kind of close, and I couldn't pick out of the 2 or 3. I didn't have enough for the whole model yet. I added that. That was my fourth line score. Now, you were just saying, alluding to the fact that that was an important entity in its own right. How would you, what could you say to me as to how to relate it and its usefulness as compared to the WEPSP?
Because this is going to be a value to everybody here. So I can spend an hour with him alone on this. What is the relationship, what is the value of factor S or the T in synergism by itself?
Now, is T the same thing?
Yeah, but T is weighted. See, the problem with T is,
right.
If you want to get a T that wasn't weighted, you have to just do it by hand.
Yeah. Okay.
The factor S, as he says, is 1 first fraction plus third fraction over 2 plus second fraction, and then the whole thing divided by 2. What this tells you is, how does a horse handle the early part of the race? Remember old factor X. How does he handle the final fraction of the race? That formula alone does not account for what a horse might have done on the turn, the horse that makes the big move on the turn. What he does on the turn is only then reflected in the third fraction, so you might have a lower number.
You two up there, is that the second call?
That is the second fraction. Hall would have all a C fine. After it. Chuck, you won the contest. You were one of our aces. You were an ace. F stands for fraction, C stands for
score. I mean, this is the T or the S?
This okay. Is the T raw.
All right, all right.
This is the native T.
Hey, Doctor, may I make just one comment?
Sir.
On S? On turf races, S is deadly.
Sure, I'll tell you why in a minute.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you why in a second.
Oh.
All right, what is S telling you? Here's what S tells.
I have to look mine up. That'll key in on it.
Right, interesting.
The true speed has been wearing all over for me.
Now it takes, it's going to take, if the horse made a move in the second fraction, and it's reflected big in the third fraction, this is an adequate formula. And factor X is a dynamite formula, especially when it's translated into energy as opposed to velocity. Now you throw in the second fraction and divide it by 2, open by 2, and you get a total picture of the race. Some people, not realizing the subtleties of mathematics, say, well, let's just take 1 plus 3 plus 2 divided by 3. It's an entirely different number. Now this is shaded. What the horse does early and what it does late, it's shaded by any move it may have made here. If it made a bad move, if it lost here, it's going to decrease this number. If it gained here, started its gain here, it's going to enhance this number that you get from factor X. Why does it work so well on turf? Because this formula tells you automatically the deceleration ratio of your best early horse. If a horse is going to maintain its lead, it will have a higher factor S, because it showed that it not only could run early, it could run throughout the race. Its deceleration was less than a horse with a lower one. But it favors, of course, to give you that identification, it has to favor a little bit sustained pace, because it takes into consideration if it didn't run real fast in the first fraction, takes into consideration the move it made in the second fraction and how well it sustained in the third. So factor S, therefore, becomes the principal formula in contender scan, which some people got who could not get it down to five contenders. It is the most predictive by itself of who the contenders are going to be. The problem is it does not pick your contenders in order. It might have your best horse might be the fourth highest factor S, but it's in the top five factor S. It is definitely in the ballgame of the race. That is it. That being a good formula, Purdy decided to weight it with how the track was running. So the question might be is whether it should be weighted or whether a person should be able to see it raw. Thus far, and every time somebody talks to me about synergism, all I can say is the reports I've been getting from around the country, whether people are doing it right or understand it or you're doing the right setup time, they don't know, but the reports have been so positive that any deficiencies I might see or longing for perfection for it are negligible, because if it's working for you, for people, then why should I care that I might would like to, or Bob himself might like to change? Problem with creation is that you always wake up like Michelangelo the next day and you want to add another thing of paint. Now when you're doing the Sistine Chapel and you got a whole several years to do it, and you can keep adding paint, but it's pretty tough with one of these. That's why our next program is going to be over a year away. Everything is going to be solved before we release it.
S is equal to early energy, is not equal.
Mm-hmm.
S is not the same thing as early energy.
Certainly not. S is S.
This is the whole sustain.
S is the total picture of the race. And it benefits sustain only because it shows you how well your best early horse ran against the total race.
When you say S is the same as the turn time now, I'm assuming? No, not turn time. It's not T.
S is T, but when you get it on synergism, it's weighted by however you weight it.
And you weight it either by early
horse. Careful on this.
I guess I'm doing this wrong because I've been running just factor W almost.
That's not a bad technique.
You're weighing it with W. That's very good. That's good. Let's say W.
Which program are you running? Okay, when he says S is the same as T, it's the S in contender scan that's the same as T in synergism.
Oh.
In synergism, your S is sustained always.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Also,
yeah, we're working with two programs there.
There's a factor S and the standalone thing, and then there's the sustained pace, which we abbreviate as to be S on some of our readouts, but it means the same.
There are
two things that we abbreviate.
S is T weighted by however you
disagree in the center.
The problem is that if you saw S by itself, but that's S factor, or it's contention factor.
Okay, if I had a race where I was really having trouble being down to five or six contenders, if I picked halfway decent pace lines and ran S, you're saying the top five has a pretty high percentage of that type of contenders.
Amazing.
That's how contender scan functions automatically.
That's
does an automatic meridian bearing.
It does an automatic variant for it.
Oh, it did an automatic variant.
The problem we have with when you have a program, adjust this race, yes or no. What is it about the human entity that there's a yes and a no? Now, when I was going to school, if you gave a beautiful girl that option, she always said no. What is it about handicappers? They always say yes.
I have always heard almost my personal survey, there's almost this two schools of thought
and it was never resolved as to whether, so it wasn't cut and dry to say, yes, you're better off, for instance, like you just said, he's fine, but he's waiting always with doubles, for instance, until he becomes sophisticated enough to improve on it. So I've always, I think that my impression is that we're sort of up in the air, and you have to become very proficient to know when to use a variant or to modify or when not to. And my own personal, I found that I've been very fortunate in not using, I take them raw, and I've been fortunate to catch everybody off the dirt. But I think that's been good.
I did not say that you will not adjust the race. I said when you use contender scan, get your contenders raw, because this formula takes into consideration a lot of room. You start adjusting them, you're going to get all those horses are going to be in because they're going to be in.
Sure.
When you get contenders down to five, then you put them in the race, then the adjustment process is valid.
But Dick says that a contender scan is adjusted by a meridian variant.
It can be if you say yes.
It gives you the option.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was automatic.
No. That's what I was saying. Why, when you get the chance to say yes or no, you always say yes to adjustment? I'll tell you why.
Give you the same option.
Since the beginning of time, handicappers have felt that the horse couldn't win the race, that they had to win it for it by putting in a bunch of men.
Are you saying in a certain way that in an emergency, that you could use turn time and synergism as a contender cutoff?
No, because it's weighted.
If you use, it's still weighted as much as you use factor W.
It's weighted by your W. If your W is 57.20 and your turn time is 56.80, it's going to be the two divided. And it's, you're going to have to do it raw.
You can do it with a calculator.
Yeah, just do it with a handheld calculator.
Well, these, if you use phase three, you get for a second and a fraction. It's very simple. The only thing you have to do is write down the numbers. It's very easy.
You're doing it raw, bro.
Careful with that statement about doing it with a calculator. Turn time is not displayed.
That's right.
No, but
well, he saw about a raw phase three program with the fraction.
If you want to know what that fraction is, you have to do it raw by yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, he's talking about a raw phase three readout.
A raw phase three readout gives you a second fraction. It does not give, mine does not give me second fraction.
Right.
I mean second call. It only gives me second fraction.
Right. Well, you don't get turn time printed to you, period. See, turn time is not just the raw second fraction. Turn time, whether you weight it or not, is still a complex formula. See, turn time is not second fraction, but there'd be no reason for us to give it to you because we're already giving you second fraction. Turn time by itself is, you know the old factor X, first and third fraction divided by 2?
Yes.
All right, it's factor X plus the second fraction, and divide that by 2. That's turn time.
That's exactly that point.
But you don't get that displayed to you on any of the programs.
Except contenders.
Yeah. Well,
but as far as the programs, the regular phase three or synergism, you don't get it.
Okay, terminology for this is turn time.
That is turn time, isn't it?
Well, the turn time formula.
That's the turn time
factor S is the turn time formula.
The problem has been is that we started in synergism with this formula, and we had to call it something, so we call it turn time. And then Purdy improved it, but he never changed the name. Matter of fact, he improved it about 9 times. Tried this, tried that, put in this, put in that. And he finally wound up with this, but we never bothered to change the name. So we have 2 or 3 things named the same thing.
Sorry, that's where my confusion is.
But it's just, this is an organic, ongoing process, sort of like English language. No one wrote it. It developed.
Okay, I don't know if anybody else, but where I have had the confusion that I'm just trying to figure out right now, I have always, for some reason, I got the relationship between turn time
It's the same thing as the second fraction.
Turn time is the second fraction.
It is, but that's in another world.
Turn time is the second fraction. Turn time is the fraction. The turn time formula in synergism is factor S weighted by what you do.
It is a turn time and second fraction, but you have a turn time formula. There's the two. Okay.
And I got differentiated.
It's the most simplistic form in a second fraction.
Turn time one, turn time two.
The yellow man.
And we have turn time formula.
It was an unfortunate choice of terms to call that. We should have left it factor S or something.
The reason he wanted it was it spells out West. W-E-S-T. The guys in the East had an early average sustained and turn time spelled out East. And they fell in love with this terminal and they left
it. I thought you did this for the people that left before they got this down, you see, and then they get confused with other.
Actually, it's not maybe a predictive factor. Since his hand even opened up, all the races I've run, turn time with a T is 1.7.
That's right. It is a predictive factor.
So it's highly predictive.
Very, very.
If you weight it with W only. If you weight it with anything else, it's not as predictive other than to predict that bias. Using W in synergism, I always use W. I never say earlier.
Well, okay, I'm going to be getting synergism today.
Want to know something else? I don't even weight mine.
If
another school of thought, I don't even wait for it.
How if,
can you get us? Oh, you just remark out the line.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Let's say you have your Brohammer model for yesterday says SP is that's worth money. Would you improve the printout and Fourier selections by waiting with SP rather than W?
Would you or would you not? You still get the same rank. Just wait it with W. It's much more, when you want to weight T and want to use T to its maximum effect, it's best weighted by W.
Isn't that the same formula you use for doing errors?
The spread variant number is first fraction, third fraction divided by 3, which is factor W's calculation in synergism now, too. The Rob formula is just early length divided by 2.
When you don't put in for automatic adjustments and don't put in any variances, what does turn time do with that?
Still weighted by the same
formula. So,
has to be weighted by something. Unless you do it. Now, the new synergism 2 plus will have the old W.
Instead, we're going to call it factor U.
Early L. Not going to spell anything this time. L instead of S. We'll spell out Wells. We'll have the original factor W, so you won't get so many ties. It'll have early, but it'll use ultrascans, weight pace, put into the 50s so that you won't get all excited when you see 70. This is with the endorsement of Brohammer. He endorsed about others. And S will be factor S. And we'll probably have an SW category for S weighted. And that way you will get S.
Law
and S weighted. So it'll spell out Wells. Or backwards, Wells.
Is this program ready now?
No. You just inspired it. we thought a long time ago, everybody said, hey, the late forming in ultrascan is better than sustained pace for this. So, and then you just inspired this. Why have to have this? Why not have S draw? And then S weighted by how you do it. And that to me would make it. Yes, sir.
I would leave it T instead of S, though.
Well.
Because if you don't follow it, you get a well.
And it's WT, weighted T.
The when I do these and print it out, I always go back up to the pace of the race, and then always to the top figures also, because sometimes factor W is only 8 or 10 points apart. And if something's been running just a little different, and you've got a good second call or a good final, it'll kind of overbalance the front one.
And we're going to have a session on that this afternoon. We're going to
a lot of times you get three ones in there. You know,
yeah, right. The use of L is going to be a big improvement to our phase three material. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that the way we calculate sustained pace, the second call's got a big piece of that.
Yeah.
So if a horse has got an exceptionally large second call, even if he's not a good sustained type horse, he's got an exceptionally large second call, that'll overlap heavily into your sustained pace rating. And so you can have a horse that looks like a 113, for example, but when you look at that 3, you know in reality that he is probably the worst finisher in the field. Alright, this one recognizes the ability to gain on the pace of the race where the other doesn't. So this time, a horse that you might have had as a say a 4-5-4 in your numbers, forgetting turn time, 4-5-4, right? Who is actually a solid closer will now look 4-5-1 or 4-5-2, and you can pinpoint the closers in the field, which goes back to early presser sustain. That will identify the closers for you, where right now you can't identify closers.
Yeah, well, I sure noticed that, where the closing figure just didn't hold up.
No, you have to go to last fraction now. Like
you do have
your dream rate. You do have it in there, but it'll
come up yes, sir.
I've been here for a while. Am I getting by this that Tom has gone to synergism?
No, I'm getting it that you were
using synergism instead of...
Got to make a major point again. And I don't think I've made it in front of the class. It's always on the telephone to somebody. Phase three and synergism are the same thing. They are the same thing. So I use a synergism program occasionally. I've got it in one computer, and I just have my own phase three with a meridian bearing in the other one. Phase three and synergism are the same identical thing.
Then why
synergism? Okay, synergism computes a variant for you automatically. That's what identifies it as synergism. It's a complex way of getting you an automatic variant if you don't have it. But it is phase three, pure and simple. It's just a more sophisticated phase.
So in other words, it's like making it alter phase three. Sort of like, in other words, it's got the variant like alter scheme does when it's got the phase three.
Yeah. But it is phase three with a sophisticated automatic variant is what synergism is. Because you hear that a lot. Somebody says, aren't you doing phase three anymore? And somebody's sitting there with synergism in their hand. I'm telling you, you're doing phase three.
What does it say on the cover of your manual, Prince?
Synergism?
Yeah. Just read the cover. Sorry. Read it in your marvelous accent. Just read what it says on the cover.
On the cover.
Just read the cover to us. Never mind the name, Prince. Just what's the title?
The concept with phase three procedure.
That's right. You are, thank you. It is phase three because you get back to W, which is phase three. You get early pace, which is phase three. You get sustained pace, which is phase three. You get turn time, which is phase three. You get percent energy, which is both. But it is a phase three program. So when you're walking around with synergism in your pocket, you can carry phase three.
But you don't
get Kirby, though. The confusing thing is when Kirby is up in front of the room, it's basically synergism is...
Synergism, Purdy will tell you it's phase three.
It is.
And he's always, you know, the long, laborious process that Tom goes through to make a variant. It is merely an attempt to automate that process. It succeeds and fails at various levels. But that's what it is. It's an attempt to automate the phase three variant process. I won't go into whether it succeeds or fails at any given track or any given time, but that's what it's doing. If you simply answer no to the automatic adjustment in synergism, you're in the wrong phase three.
Right.
And it will ask you for an open adjustment. You can plug in Tom's, you can plug in your own, you can put a zero in there and see it absolutely wrong. There is no difference. Once you answer no to synergism auto adjust, you have phase three. So you never need them both in your computer.
Well, I'm working in combo skills. I don't get either turn time or sustained. I get late. From what Tom, if I understood Tom correctly, late is more valuable to me than sustained anyway.
In my opinion, it is.
It is. Okay. So how much am I losing by not having turn time?
losing any. You're in phase four.
Yeah, you're doing just
numbers. Hey, phase four is.
Well, I hear people telling me how predicting.
But obfuscating has its own magical process.
Yeah, okay.
If you put the right, using combo scan and use the manual adjustment, and you're putting the right hard energy in, you're doing better than anybody in phase three who doesn't use a meticulously manufactured variant.
Claudia, well, what you trade off, you have a superior lathe number, and they have a superior, you're just trading one for the other.
Well, the
ideal is that one.
I'm keeping two sets of records. I'm running Tom's variants, but I'm also running the UltraScan.
Hey, the guy who uses UltraScan with Tom's variants.
But
making a fortune.
The interesting thing is I'm discovering that certain types of races are doing better with the computer, and other types of races are doing better with the second readout, the C readout. So I'm tracking both of those. And there seems to be, it appears to me, I don't have enough of a case yet, there appears to be a somewhat of a consistency of types of races that do better with each
good.
One.
Good. Well, when you get a report, give it to us. Tell us how many races.
So all I really have to do with phase three is just go up and find my last fraction, put a little number down there and add it behind my
last thing. Not quite, but that will be an improvement to sustain if you go find the last fraction. Because you can have two horses that are one and two sustained, and yet one of them's got a superior last fraction to the other one, and that is really, it might be the two sustained horse with a better last fraction, and that's really your best
I actually had one race, I forget what it was, because we threw the horse out anyway, but I ended up, the horse was the number one sustained, and he was the last race.
Okay, because that is...
I only had that happen once.
Okay, but that is possible, because that second call overlaps so heavily into sustained phase that it could happen.
Yeah, I had that once too.
I don't want to get away from too much time because Tom's got a lengthy presentation and we have a lot to go over, but I also don't want to cut anything off. But let me tell you something about you have synergism?
Not yet.
Do you have contender scan? Do you have anything with the dream race?
We've got contender scan, okay. But just for the Commodore. I don't have it for a small computer yet.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. When you look at, you have the three best fractions in the race. One horse may have a 54 third fraction. Don't be just using that third fraction as late pace, whatever you do, or you're going to be picking some horses that were so far behind the beginning that you're dreaming. You think they're going to win, except on occasions when the bias is such that they will win. Remember, the late that Tom is talking about, that he prefers to sustain, is a formula of velocity over percentile relationship to the pace of the race. Meaning, if the horse were 100%, if he were the pace of the race in the third fraction, he'd have a 152 total, if we divide it in there. But if supposing he gained on the pace, he was way, way behind here a little bit, and he came up with a 103, but his velocity were 52, he'd have a 155. On the other hand, supposing he has a 54, is when you're just taking the third fraction by itself, he has a 54, but his relationship between where he was before and where he is now is like a 96, when he's not nearly as good as the horse here. So you should borrow her UltraScan and get your late pace. Don't be counting on that third fraction to come through if he has no first or second.
Well, so far, she's running the races, I'm running the races, we run the same horses, it happens a few times. you still get the race and not run the same horses. People don't seem to understand that.
Well, they're gradually coming to.
I had a hard time understanding that for a long time. If I didn't run exactly the same horse as Tom, would I go home and go like this and say, my God. But, I found that if we do run the same horses, that my last fraction is pretty much correlating to her late pace and UltraScan.
Well, that's because you are analyzing the race riding. You're throwing out the horse who only has a last fraction. What I'm saying is don't look at a readout and see a huge last fraction without relating to what it did before it got that fraction. He might run a 24-24 and then run a 23 final fraction. Well, there's 24, he's now 48 at the half, and he's running 45. How many lengths is he behind?
You're making the correct observation.
Your observation is accurate because you're putting the horses.
I want to know if Tom has Sarah Brigg in the ninth race day before yesterday.
Sarah's chick.
She was a 5-1, 5-5 for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that horse that day.
You did? Yeah. You ran it?
Oh, I love horses that are 1 for 42 lifetimes.
I couldn't find it.
I got in line about the fifth race that day to bet that ninth race.
Are you putting me on?
I'm absolutely putting you on.
You're going to have to show me what paper you use. I couldn't find paper and I got the
That was the word, that was the Calcan Stakes. As I recall, the best winning percentage in that race was 3 for 63.
Right.
It was, Jones Chick was about
every other one.
There. He just got away with a lot.
I had the Caliente. I wasn't at the track, unfortunately. I had the Caliente horse that paid $122 and wasn't there to bet.
Several people had that, too.
But I couldn't see a pace line on that Sarah's Chick to run.
It was the bottom fair. It's a $10,000 race. They don't go any cheaper, so maybe it was a $2,000 race. We just can't go down that hill.
Did you have Trustee Dennis when it paid $52?
I had a bet on Trustee Dennis.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah.
Not the first time,
it paid $120.
My second choice. Remember, just jump up and interrupt.
In regards to Cerro's Chick, the only thing you can say about that horse off his last pace line where he slugged it out in that deep concrete and the mud, he lost 8 lengths in the stretch, which was not unusual that day.
Oh, we're going to talk about those days, incidentally, today.
Cerro's Chick was an absolute perfect model fit for 9 or 10 furlongs at Santa Anita, number one early. If they got the lead turning for home, they can't seem to get headed. 90% of the time for every race run at that track, this meeting. Cerro's Chick was going to have the lead. I didn't think the horse was going to win.
I didn't handicap that race because I was afraid somebody would find out that I did.
But, in regards to how do you get that horse, that's how you do it. You have to ignore the last fraction that was running 47.
Let me tell you, there's a way of getting that horse, but not for that race. There's a way of putting that horse on your horses to watch list that we're going to talk about in a little while, because that's the reason we had Bold Arrogance yesterday on our horses to watch list, not knowing that the horse was going to run and win at the same time we were doing it, but a little later today.
Really. Yeah.
But there's a way of getting that horse on your horses to watch list by an observation. There's no way of putting that horse on top in any race.
No.
Okay, none at all. But you're better off having a race. I'm sure you go to the races often enough that you don't have to play every race. You get to play tomorrow and the next day and the next time you come out. And that's one race that you're going to go. Ancient Blue, who's 3 for 63,
right,
is a 2-to-1 favorite in that race. That's poison. Those kinds of races are poison. Yeah. This isn't really my topic right now, but I'll take another one. Yeah.
No, just to cap off the previous topic, what is the formula for factor L?
Factor L. That's a complex formula.
It hurt your mind. You don't want to know.
It's so complex, I haven't been able to program it into my space
reader. It's
because I'm not that sophisticated.
About. Are you asking what late pace is in upper skin?
No, what's factor L?
What's factor L?
Late pace in upper skin.
That's late pace in upper skin. I just gave it to you. Of course, it's got a little complex. It's shaded by the other practices, too. But by itself, unshaded, it is the velocity of the horse plus his percentile relationship to the third fraction of the race put in, which might be 98, or might be, if you gained, it might be 103. It's a limiter, incidentally. I can't give you the whole formula, because the only thing I've left that hasn't been stolen. It is his, if he gains other pace, he's going to have 103% of the pace. If he's gained on what, this is 51-40 or something.
This is one of my
The percentile relationship to the fraction and the velocity of the fraction, and then they'll just get divided by 2. But it has a little stuff mixed into it that relates to what it did before, so it won't tip the balance.
The algorithm is a stinker if you're thinking about writing the new one.
This is
one of my favorite hobbies, because what you're doing is you're adding a velocity to a percentile, and that is nonsense. That could work. Irregardless. Playing Old Christian. Once I figured out what he was doing, I threw the program down for years. damn thing works great.
Yeah, one final point on the subject before we go away from that, though. Once you have access to that in your synergism program, then you better come out and sit here in another class of, in terms of application. Because when you get that late number as opposed to sustained, you have to completely rethink how you're handicapping races. Because all of a sudden, the early horse that used to bet as a 1-3 because he looked like he had plenty of sustained pace now looks 1-6. He's still able to win, but now you got a 1-6 where before you weren't playing 1-6s. So you're going to have to completely rethink that whole process now because you get clearly 6-1s and 1-6s. You got to go to the 1s and the 1s on the other side.
The good news is that the class will be free.
I would hope so.
When the UltraScan 2 plus L and D comes up, we're going to call it D, incidentally, the factor S instead of T. It stands for Doctor Factor. Now,
we want to read out that says GURU.
Well, did y'all see my Christmas present?
Yes.
next year we're going to have a softball team. We only have 3 members.
Omar
Guruetz.
The king of these court. Yeah.
Guruetz. All right. Tom's got a lot of things, but I want to go over one thing to keep somewhat the sequence we had yesterday. Let us let you know that we're not living in the dark ages. We do know what's going on in the world of racing. We do know that you have all read articles, seen ads, seen on television if you have one of those wonderful satellites, Harvey Peck, people like that, talking about the sheets. How many of you are familiar with the term the sheets? Most of you are.
Thoroughgraph
is
all the Thoroughgraph, what we call out here, the sheets of New York.
Okay.
Which one of your reporting rooms is that?
It isn't. It has nothing to do with it. But these things in New York impact the daily handle by an average of $680,000. Fortunately, they do not impact the mutuals. They are more often than not picking the correct horse, but they are. The man has had so much publicity. His name Lynn
Rogozin,
and his disciple that decided he'd go off on his own. An experience that I understand. His name is Jerry Brown, not a politician in this case, and he brought him out here. We have given you since 1982 your own method of making a sheet. A sheet is merely a lifetime history on a horse, on a given horse. Now,
excuse me, Howard, you might mention that the sheets in the last row never arrived back there.
Oh. Yeah, they came this far.
You, every other person have one.
Just every other person.
But they're not archived.
Oh, I beg your
pardon. This is just so you can see what one looks like. Everybody got a view of what
your sheet.
I got one in the mail. But people sent me something. And
I wonder what he's talking about.
They're spending a lot of money.
I threw it away faster.
This is a Perko thing.
That's Jerry Brown's thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Perko, that's why.
In fact, this is the one of this channel you wanted or anything else.
Guy who won the pick six by himself said he used the sheets, but he also said it cost him $1,500 to do it. So I don't know if he spends $1,500 on pick six every day. He may not have made money on $122,000.
Well, I'm saying, Tom's very familiar with the price of the sheets and what they're doing.
But I'll tell you, I was pleased to see them come out in New York. I was sitting handicapping with Michael Pagola, and I looked up at a horse that was 1-8-1, and I figured 8-1 was about right.
Pass it back to him, let it happen.
And he was 8-5, the boy. And I said, Michael, what's going on? He looked up and said, oh, it's probably a sheep horse. And when the sheets tout a horse you don't like, it's a wonderful thing. Every other, you could bet 5 horses in that race. The sheets that influence so much of the pool that they get hammered. And since now, if it happens to be the horse you like, they have to cry past the race. But more often than not, they're wrong, and they're hammering the horse that you want to have hammered, the false favorite. and it can be wonderful.
The reason we're going over the sheets is that A, they are going to do that out here. They're going to have a great influence on the amount of money put through the mutuals if the New York experience is repeated. Well, and anything that is that heavily advertised and heavily, Jerry Frankel, you know, has taken a look at the sheets and is interested in them. So Jerry Frankel says, I'm interested in the sheets in the ad, you know.
Bobby Frank.
And some trainers are actually using them.
All right, I sat through a week seminar to Len Bergoglio's sheets. I think it was 1979.
I sat through.
Yeah, and they had it out at the airport motel or something. Their biggest problem with that, New York being much different geographically than Los Angeles, is a distribution problem. But you can't get it out to the people in 94 if you're a racing film. So they had to meet you outside the racing track or something. So that's
well, they just
they're
doing
New York right now. Yeah, that's what they're doing in Southern California also, the Cheyenne Supper Club is where they're just
doing. Is that how they're doing
it? Well, well, let's get to the etiology of the sheet and what it does. And I'm showing it to you. $27 a day. $27 a day. That's $3 less than bartenders made when I started this method.
I can drive up and take time to the races for less than $3.
Much less than that. Amazing.
He started this method. I wanted to know how much bartenders made. They made $30 a day. And I said, boy, if I can come up with a method that'll make me $30 a day, I make as much as a bartender. And you all know the bartender is the world's greatest psychologist. So I can still be, you know, writing my own book. No, it's 27. Well, the idea of the sheets is this. It's, remember Compleanos and the. We're going to pass out that section today. Somebody yesterday made the comment when he left was, I never could understand that when I read the Yellow Manual, but now I've come a long way. I understood it immediately. But making a profile, a history, a pace history of a horse, we'll show you later on this afternoon. I'm not going to show you how to do it now. I'm going to have you take these sheets and look at what they're doing, and then we'll show you how we have always done it. Now, Tom tells me they go from right to left, which is ridiculous. Our sheets will go from left to right. I mean, our sheets would go from right to left. We'll go up this way. They go this way. They go from left to right. What it's telling you is a tank's prospect. Now, low is best, and these little wavy lines have symbols. I've got their symbolism, but it doesn't matter. They're bore out or rest in, or the wind factor is too heavy. The horse has a 13, which is bad. It all depends what the other horses in the race. If they all have 27s, the 13 would have been good. But you really have no way of betting this horse in that first notation. It's a 13. That's what it did. That's your base point. Now suddenly it gets good. 7.2 is in a plus. It's very good. Then it has a relatively poor race. It goes back to its 13. Oh, it's going the other way. Oh, it's going up. All right, go up. See, I don't even know how to read the darn thing. Anyhow, go up. It has 27, a bad race. 24, which is not quite as bad. A 15 with a notation that it had some problems in there with the wind and the 15.2. That's getting into form, by their standard. A 10 is a very good race. That's an outstanding race. Their maintain is, this Tom may comment, the horse tops off, bounces off a real good race, and he does nothing. He goes backwards. So the 13 was to be expected. They would tell you, don't play the next race after the 10. I don't know what they would tell you after the 13, whether he's going to run the 10 or not. There's no indication in going up the hill here that he comes off of a 13 and goes to a 7. But you do know that he goes from a bad race to a good race to a 13, which he did. So what it's merely doing is with their using final times only, corrected by their internal formula. They time the horses personally from the gate, not from the flag. Very, very meticulous way of giving you a final time figure and translating it into a number, the lowest of which is the best. Get this from Kalkin's that he sent me all this material. So, we are going to show you, if you're interested in this type of thing, since it's now going to be the talk of the world until it passes, you might as well be conversant with what it's doing and how what you've got can do it better. Unless you suddenly change the thrust of your thinking, you will disagree with even the genius who got written up in New Yorker. He says there is only final time, and final time is the only significant thing in a race. There is no such thing as pace, and there is no such thing as track five. There is only speed, weight, and wind. And possibly the legal configuration. That is it, and he's a genius.
We have to support that.
We ought to support that philosophy.
Absolutely.
How many of you had Valley of Cougar this week? Probably a lot of you. Valley of Cougar was a 1-1-1-1-1 across the board on our number one.
Yeah, there was.
Thoroughbred was touting a horse called Midnight Ice. Now, Midnight Ice has one line in his entire 10 lines in the past performance that would make him close to being a winner there. That was their tout horse. They, in the seminar that they do every day for their new clients until they get it going, they had positively stated that Valiant Cougar would not win. That Valiant Cougar had run the best race of his life, his last race, and would now run poorly. Now, Valiant Cougar won by 8. Their statement that it would not run well, Valiant Cougar gets 13 points. That's part of